So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, it is Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings, and I am coming at you loud and clear here. Now, I really don't have any show prep for today, so I have a few things I want to talk about, but I really don't have a plan, so I'm going to kind of wing this one. Starting out here, I'm just looking at my hands, and they are torn up, folks. I used to be a licensed general contractor, and I let that lapse several years ago, getting a different job, but I have old clients who, from time to time, still get in touch with me and want me to do work. And we just have this understanding, okay, I'm no longer a contractor, I'm no longer licensed, but if you want me to work on your house, I'll be more than happy. And we do this stuff on a handshake, which I guess brings up a different point that I hadn't thought about. Gone are the days of a deal based on a handshake. I mean, now everything is done with these proposals and contracts, and it's signed in triplicate, and you're signing in blood, and, you know, gone are the days when you do stuff on a handshake. Well, these clients I dealt with first about, it's 20 years ago this year, and we did the initial deal with a proposal and a contract and all that. But when they wanted me to come back and do more stuff about 10 years ago, yeah, I'd come back and I'd do it and all that. And then they decided they want to put their house on the market. So I said, well, you know, we'll lay everything out. And we did it on a handshake. And I have just been doing this entire project on that original handshake. I send an email. Hey, here's what's going to cost. Yeah, does it sound good? Hey, they cut me a check for the down payment. They pay me when it's done. And folks, you know, that's really the way things used to be done. And you still find that in small town America, some places. And I found in the Midwest that people are still more open to dealing with things the way they were in the 1800s. It's the last bastion of that. However, this is in North Carolina, and you don't run into it that much anymore. And it's very refreshing just to come up to someone and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. You shake hands, they give you money. You do the job, you finish the job, they give you some more money. What's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. That's the way things used to be, and I don't understand where things went wrong. When do we start distrusting each other? When do we start suing the crap out of everybody for something that goes wrong? Well, that's when the liberals came in and they ruined it for everybody else. So getting back to all these scabs on my hands here, and it kind of ties into this here, because they have a breakfast nook on the back of the house, and it's like a half an octagon. And I laid out some guttering for them, and they don't make gutters that are like half of a 45, which is 22 and a half degrees. So I had to make my own. Well, I looked at this thing, and blame it on me, it wasn't exactly half of a 45. This thing was off a little bit, so I made these beautiful mitered corners, sealed them, put everything together, and it didn't fit. Well, after several hours, I eventually made it fit with a screw here and a tightening there and a tightening there and got everything around, but it loosened up everything that I had already sealed. So needless to say, the first time it rained, this thing was leaking more water than it was channeling. So I went back and cleaned everything out, and I put some more gutter seal in there, and it didn't work. So then I thought, well, you know, I'll use this stuff. It's called peel and seal. So yesterday morning, I went over there and I cleaned the gutters out, flushed them out with the hose. Then I dried everything out with towels and paper towels. And I spent hours cutting this peel and seal and placing it over everything. And I was so proud of this. I just knew it was going to work. It was going to stop these leaks. I got the homeowner out there and said, okay, the hose is in the gutter. Watch while I turn it on. And I turned it on, and it still leaked. Now, it did reduce the leakage by about 99%, but it was still leaking. So, folks, I had egg on my face, and I had torn my hands up, reaching in the gutters, cleaning everything out, tearing them up on the edge of the shingles. I got fiberglass on my hands. And it's still not going to work. So I just emailed the back. I said, hey, we're going to let it dry out over the week. It's going to be 80 degrees every day. No chance of rain. Going to go old school and throw some tar in there the way they used to do it. So much for all this spray stuff that you see on television. It doesn't work. Old-fashioned way, folks. Revert to tar. In this day and age, there aren't too many people that can admit their mistakes, much less laugh at them. Well, egg on my face, folks, because I have been in construction and doing general contracting since 1993, and this simple little gutter got the best of me. It's always the little ones, folks. And keep that in mind. You know, years and years ago, I had a little cat, and she was an absolute riot. And one day I went out in the backyard and I saw her, what I thought she was playing with something. And as I got closer, I saw that this little cat, and she weighed 5.5 pounds fully grown. She was just a perpetual kitten. She's fighting with a praying mantis. So I went out there and she looked at me and she rolled over to play cutesy, and she rolled over on top of the praying mantis, which immediately grabbed a hold of her butt and bit in. And all of a sudden, this cat came off the ground about 3.5-4 feet in the air with this 3.5-inch long praying mantis hanging off of her butt. And she ran across the yard and she finally got it loose. So then she got brave. She turned around and she came back. And she was swatting and she's coming in. She's snapping at it. And it grabbed a hold of her nose. And now she's standing there with this praying mantis hanging off her nose. And that really threw her off. And she tore it off. She came back in and she swatted at it. And it grabbed a hold of her paw. And at that point, she shook it loose. She walked away and she never went back. And this is something that I have talked about in some of my speeches over the years. If you've ever had the opportunity to listen to me, then you may have heard the story about this cat with the praying mantis. And the moral of the story is, a 3.5-inch long insect stood up against a fully grown cat. Small cat, I'll give you that. But a fully grown cat, it stood up against that big cat and it won. And the moral of the story is that we, each and every one of us, as a freedom-loving individual, can stand up against a government that has taken it upon itself to override our freedoms and our liberties, and we can take it back. And all we have to do is to look at a little insect defeating a big, bad pussycat. So now let me throw this at you, folks. This is an email that I received about Social Security and how it works and how it pays out. So let me read this to you, because this is really interesting when you stop and analyze it. The only thing wrong with the government's calculation of available Social Security is they forgot to figure in the people who died before they ever collected a Social Security check. Now, where did that money go? It's a very good question. Remember, not only did you and I contribute to Social Security, but your employer did as well. It totaled 15% of your income before taxes. If you averaged only $30,000 over your working life, that's close to $220,500. Now, did you see where the government paid in a single penny to that? No, you did. We're talking about the money that you and your employer put into a government bank to ensure that you and I would have a retirement check from the money we put in, not the government. Now, they're calling the money we put in an entitlement when we reach the age to take it back. Well, if you calculate the future invested value of $4,500 per year, which is what you and your employer contributions total to, at a simple 5% interest, which is less than what the government pays on the money that it borrows. What does that turn into? Well, after 49 years of working, you would have $892,919.98. If you took out only 3% per year, you would receive $26,787.60 per year, and it would last longer than 30 years. Well, that would mean until you're 95 if you retire at the age of 65. And most of us don't live that long. And that's with no interest paid on the final amount on deposit. If you bought an annuity and it paid 4% per year, you would have a lifetime income of $2,976.40 per month. Wow. See, the folks in Washington, man, they're pulling off a bigger Ponzi scheme than Bernie Madoff ever imagined. Entitlement. This is not an entitlement. You and I paid cash for our Social Security insurance. Now, just because they borrowed the money for other government spending doesn't make you or my benefits some kind of charity or a handout. Remember, folks, the benefits for members of Congress? Oh, the free health care, the outrageous retirement packages, and the 67 paid holidays, and 3 weeks paid vacation, and unlimited 6 days. Yeah, What do we get? That's right. Now see, what they're getting, that's welfare. And then they have the nerve to call my Social Security retirement payments entitlements? I don't think so. They call Social Security and Medicare an entitlement, even though most of us have been paying for it all of our working lives. And now, when it's time for us to collect, the government is running out of money? Where the hell did it go? Why did the government borrow from it in the first place? Yeah, that's what I want to know. It was supposed to be in a locked box, not part of the general fund. But they have stolen it from us. This is sad, isn't it? You know, I don't know what's going to happen with our money being stolen. Now that Donald Trump is back in, he is doing a damn good job of putting everything back where it used to be. And maybe he can do something about this. I don't know. But folks, you know, two of the biggest scams out there are the money that you pay for your Social Security and the money that you pay for your gas tax to fix the bridges and roads. It's all stolen and it's all thrown into welfare. It's all given to people who don't deserve it. Gotta take a quick break. I will be back in a few minutes. Hang tight.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Love that bumper. Now that is by a band called The Pretty Reckless. And if you don't know who they are, if you're not familiar with them, they're fronted by a pretty stunning blonde that used to be an actress, actually. She played on a show called Gossip Girl. Now I'm not familiar with that show. I'm more into Discovery Channel, Science Channel, and things like that. But if you're into primetime TV, you may be familiar with it. They got a good sound from the 1980s, and that's, I don't think that's one of their really popular ones. They did have a fairly decent hit called Heaven Knows. George, can you find that? See if you can pull that up. Oh, you got the video for it? Okay, yeah, just go ahead and run a little segment of that. Good Lord. This is definitely not safe for work, folks. George, where did you find this? This is on YouTube? Well, go ahead and take it down. It's very, very distracting. No, don't close it out. Just minimize it. We'll watch it later. Wow. I have completely lost my train of thought. And George is still sitting here with his mouth hanging open. Hey, George, pull something up for me here. What do you have? Okay, yeah, we'll run with that. Okay, folks, so I want you to think about something here. A lot of people do volunteer work, community service. Sometimes it's mandated by the courts, and sometimes it's just something that you want to do out of the goodness of your heart. But what if your company mandated that you perform community service? Now, I want you to think about that, because I've come across a couple of things regarding this. Actually, I was looking for some backup to the story I was going to run with, and I found this one that I'm going to give you first. Now, this is kind of a question and answer thing. It says, someone I know works for a large private bank. A directive recently came down mandating that all employees must perform 12 hours of community service annually to take place during normal business hours. While I know institutions encourage employees to volunteer, I have never heard of it being mandatory. Is this legal? Can they force someone to perform work outside their job description? And the answer says, job description? What's that? Very few people today have formal, narrowly defined job descriptions, and even if they do, employers usually include a line to the effect of and any other duties as assigned by the company. Watch out for the fine print there, folks. It goes on to say, regardless, the company can require such service, particularly if it is part of the company culture, mission, and values. Noble intentions aside, if the community service is limited to regular company work hours, and this is where it's important, and you aren't having your pay docked for time out of the office, which would make even Scrooge shudder, then it is definitely within the company's legal right to require it as part of your job. An exception would be if the community work conflicts with your protected rights, such as those relating to religion, race, or sexual orientations and the like, and you would find it offensive. Now, this is where it gets interesting and very gray and very shady. Go back to what it says here. If the community service is limited to regular company work hours and you aren't having your pay docked. Okay. Well, this is what brings up the story that I heard about earlier today. And that is that someone is working for a company, name of the company was not divulged, so this is why I was trying to find some additional background information to prove it. So right now it's merely hearsay, but this company is requiring its workers to perform 16 hours of community service. Now, I'm not sure if that was annually or monthly, but it almost sounded like it was monthly, and it was outside of company hours, and the company was not reimbursing them for that. So, in essence, the company was saying, you are going to perform community service whether you like it or not, and no, you're not going to get compensated for it. Now, folks, let me tell you this. If I were working for that company, and my manager told me that, I got a couple words that I would tell him or her in response, and it would also include, hell no. There's no way that you can force me to do something like that on my own time. Then I'm sure there's going to be a major lawsuit that's going to be filed over this. If the ACLU is tuning into this show, I want you to look into this because I don't think it's legal. It certainly is not right. And I certainly would not work for a company that did that. And I would do everything that I could to find an attorney that would take my case on a contingency basis and sue the living hell out of this company. Now, what do you think about this, folks? Would you put up with that? I mean, this is like these companies demanding that you divulge the password to your Facebook account or your Twitter account. That is a bunch of crap. You know, it's time that these companies were put in their place, and legislation needs to be passed to limit the power that these corporations have. They have no business interfering in our private lives. They have no business demanding access to our personal accounts. You know, they have no business dictating what we can and cannot do off hours on our own time. Now, of course, okay, if you're a public official, you know, say if you're a teacher or a cop or a firefighter, or you work in the mayor's office, something like that, then yeah, I can understand how things you do on your off time might reflect on your job. But if you're just a private citizen, what you do on your own time is your own business. And that is why, to this day, I am still boycotting Cabela's for the firing of Dan Schildhauer, because he was flyering for the National Alliance on his own time. And not too long after that happened, I stopped in at the very large store that they have in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, and I was wearing my undercover jacket. So prior to going into the store, I pulled down my badge tab, my ID tab, front and back, and slapped my patches on the shoulders, walked in and asked to speak to the store manager. And this store was so large that they were actually giving a troop of Cub Scouts a tour of this particular store. And I told the manager what I thought of the whole situation and that I would no longer be purchasing from their company. And the Scouts, meanwhile, their ears were just tuned into this. And the manager looked at me and said, "Well, sir, perhaps if you knew the organization this individual was associated with, you might change your tune." I said, "Oh, I know full well who it was. It was the National Alliance. And it's his right to feel how he does and do what he wants on his own time." So then I was asked for a card, which I provided. And it had my contact info, my telephone number. Well, since my rank is chief, it doesn't matter whether they call that number or not. All he was going to do was get a hold of me anyway. So that whole point was moot, him trying to get me fired. But that's what these corporations are doing, demanding, dictating what you can and cannot do in your own time. And that is not right. I do not believe in that. That is not the American way. I mean, that is so far to the left. That is something that is progressively liberal. And I'll guarantee you that whoever brought forth this company policy mandating that their employees do community service is a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. I hate authority. There is nobody out there really qualified to tell me what to do, unless it has something to do with my job and I need help. But in life, no. You have no business telling me what I need to do with my life. And that's why I hate company uniforms. They are so demeaning, because they're designed to take away your individuality. And back in 1996, I worked at a lumber company that had a uniform policy, and I found a good loophole in it. They had company t-shirts, so I was wearing those, and in lieu of the blue uniform pants, I was wearing blue BDUs. And it just drove the owner insane up one side and down the other. So finally, he resorted to cheating, because he couldn't beat me in brain games. It just wasn't going to work. So he implemented a mandatory enforcement policy of the uniform. This is on a Friday at the meeting. And he said, anyone who comes in not wearing their uniform on Monday doesn't have a job here. So, first thing Monday morning, I walked through the door wearing a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and handed him a letter of resignation and said it's self-explanatory. So folks, you always have the option to say no. Just say no. When it comes down to your liberties and your freedoms, you control what goes on in your life. I am out of time here. Thank you, George. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.